Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Kanske jag behöver inte att predika.
Maybe I don't need to preach. Everything is here.
Men jag ska predika.
But I'm going to preach.
Jag minns en gång.
I remember one time when we were on vacation in Öland.
And we fick en
that we got a listen now. A personal invitation from the king. My friend, Carl Gustav the 16th, actually. And that was to the Princess Victoria's birthday party at Borgholms slott. Are you guys impressed? Yes, yeah.
Okay.
We bought the tickets at ICA to the cheapest places in the very back.
And
even though we had to listen to Marcus and Martinus, it was actually kind of fun. And it was
Marcus and Martinus.
It was actually quite exciting when it got closer to the king's arrival. And then a message came, which said, we need to stand up. The king is coming. And here in Isaiah chapter 9, that is the message to God's people who first heard and read this prophecy to a people whose lives were filled with darkness, sadness, oppression, war. The message was clear. The message was, the king is coming. The king is coming. Verses 6 and 7 answer the question, who? Who is this king going to be? And then verses 1 to 5 answers the question, what is this king going to do? And then the third revealing question is how? How should God's people respond? What kind of people are they supposed to be if they are the king's people? And the king is coming. So, who is this king going to be? So the first is in verse 6. As it says in the other translation, wonderful counselor. Wonderful counselor. I don't know if it sounds like a weak word, counselor. Maybe it's more in English it would be advice giver, but in the ESV it says counselor. But it doesn't sound important enough. But maybe that's not the full meaning. Because this promised prophesied king is going to be more than just somebody who gives good advice. Maybe a guide would be better. Or I also thought about a Sherpa. A Sherpa is a type of guide who can lead you to the top of Mount Everest. One who knows and shows the way. One who you absolutely can trust in when it comes to the truth. Everything that you need to be able to reach the top of the mountain. He knows everything. And one who you can trust in for your life to make sure that you reach the top and the bottom, living, alive, to save you from, in one way, from death. And also to guard your life. So a type of light, a light on the way, who leads you to your destination. A light who is the way, the truth, and the life. So this promised king is going to be a wonderful, actually a supernatural, godly counselor, or a Sherpa, who is a living supernatural light, and not just for the Jews, but also for the Gentiles, the light of the world, who is actually the way, and the truth, and the life. Verses 1 and 2 shows us that, yes, that is exactly what this promised king is going to do.
Listen.
The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. The light that is going to be victorious over the darkness and ultimately death, instead of darkness and death, light. And then for the second, he is mighty God. And we don't need to even speculate about his godness. He is God, and he is powerful. But what is he going to use his strength for? Verse 3 helps us with the answer. You have multiplied the nation, you have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. That's a picture of two fields, a field with harvest and a battlefield. And on both fields, the promised king is going to come and bring joy instead of sorrow. Joy on the field with harvest, it will increase the amount of people who are missing joy, but they're going to receive a great joy. And on the battlefield, there will be a victory. And that leads to people sharing a spoil, which also gives great joy. So many people, a lot of blessing, great joy. Is this familiar? God's promise to Abraham. God's great blessing. For God's people, his increasing people. Through Abraham's seed. Through one that God has promised.
Wow.
Exciting. And then the third. Everlasting Father. Everlasting Father. But what does a father have? And don't say gray hair. The reason for a father to have gray hair is, of course, that they have children. But who are these people now? Instead of children, they are those who are being oppressed. They're like slaves. So what is the promised king going to bring? Instead of slavery, he's going to bring freedom. No longer slaves, but sons. In verse 4, it says, for the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. God's people had so often been slaves in Egypt, in Gideon's time, under the oppression of Midian, then in exile, in Assyria, in Babylon. But this promised king is going to be a better Gideon. He is going to break the yoke of his burden. Not a physical burden, but sin's burden. Something that Gideon couldn't do. So that they wouldn't any longer be slaves under sin. And fear and judgment. But they would know the freedom as sons with an eternal father. And then finally, the promised king is Prince of Peace. And what is he going to bring? Yes. Peace. Verse 5. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult, and every garment rolled in blood, will be burned as fuel for the fire. Instead of war, peace. He is going to bring God's rest to his people.
Shalom.
But God, with God and with other people. That's what they lost in Eden, in the Garden of Eden. That is the kind of victory and kingdom that God promised David. And that is what God's promised king is going to bring. So the question is, what kind of people should the king's people be? And the answer is, God's people are a waiting people. They wait in faith on God's promised king that he is going to come according to his word. And that was a long time to wait, as we know. But at the right time, God sent his son. For to us a child has been born. A son has been given. That is the message of Christmas. On the first Christmas celebrated and today, that the king has come. The king has come. And he is the wonderful counselor, the wonderful Sherpa who has come to bring light into the darkness. As Murat read in John 1:1-5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And Jesus said, I am the light of the world. The one who follows me will not walk in darkness, but they have the light of life. Our wonderful, supernatural, godly Sherpa, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to me. No one can come to the Father except through me. He is the life-giving truth, who is the only way to the Father. The light that defeated death's darkness to give life to all who believe. Who believe in him. And he is the light who has now shone in our hearts, which Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:6. God who said, light will shine out of darkness, he has shone in our hearts, so that the knowledge of God's glory would shine from Christ's face, would spread his light. The king has come, and he is also the mighty God, the one who came to bring joy to the world, to his people, the king's people, over the whole world. Listen to the angel. When the angel said, don't be afraid, I have come with news of great joy for all people. Today, a Savior has been born for you in David's city. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord. And on the battlefield, this mighty God who fought and won the victory for us over death and hell. In Colossians 2:15, it says, he who disarmed the powers and authorities and triumphed over them on the cross. The victory is his, and the spoil is ours today. Every spiritual blessing in him. What a joy. And that joy spreads
from
the battlefield to the field of harvest as God's people grows through faith. Through faith in Him, to be the King's people, to the ends of the earth. The King has come, and He is also He is also the everlasting Father, the one who gives the slaves freedom and makes them sons. In Luke 4, Jesus says He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the captives. To free us who were slaves under sin. To make us sons. In Romans 8, it says that God has sent His Son's Spirit in our hearts. Think about that. God has sent His Son's Spirit. Jesus' Spirit into our hearts, who cries out,
Abba,
Father. So you are no longer you are no longer slaves, but you are sons. Sons. The King has come. And He is the Prince of Peace. The one who wins the war and brings peace and rest for His people.
Lucas 4, let's take order till summons med änglen en stor
himmels
här som prisade Gud. De sjöng
there's a vision of all these angels praising God and they're singing glory to God in the highest.
Fred
and peace
på jorden,
on earth.
Bland människor som han
among the people who He loves. Peace, the Prince of Peace. He has created peace. In Colossians 1, He has created peace through the blood on the cross. Peace. Through Him, both on earth and in heaven. Peace with God. Now and forever. Peace with God. Peace with one another. Only through Jesus,
Frieds first,
the Prince of Peace.
Also,
what kind of people should the King's people be now? The King's people are a transformed people, a people of light.
Ni är världens ljus.
You are the light of the world.
En stad som
a city on a hill
cannot
be hidden.
Ert ljus
your light shall shine before the people so that they see your good works and praise your Father in heaven. In one way, He is the sun. He is the source. We're like the moon. Like moons. We should reflect. We should mirror His light. Receive it. Receive His light. He who is the way and the truth and the life. Get to know Him. Be filled of His light. And then reflect Him. Let the light shine forward from our lives as individuals, from our lives as a church, to make Him known as the way, the truth, and the life. Not just to give people advice, but to speak life, the word of life, and the power of the Spirit who is shown in our transformed lives? Is your light hidden? Or is our light on a mountain shining for every people, for every person to be able to see? The king's people are a transformed people. But then they're also a people of joy. Joy. The victory is ours in Jesus. The spoil, the blessing is ours in Jesus. He came so that his joy, think about that, his joy, which is perfect, it's complete, fully shining and wonderful, that his joy would be in us, and that our joy would be complete. 1 Peter 4 says that believers rejoice in indescribable heavenly joy. When you listen, when you now are on the way to reach the goal of your faith, your soul's salvation, isn't that amazing that one day we will be able to rejoice with indescribable joy? But this is saying now, that now God's people rejoice with indescribable heavenly joy. I ask myself, if I'm not doing this, why not? Can I just recommend, out of things that have happened in my life, can I just recommend at least one part of the answer when we say why not? And I'm thankful for Christopher Ashe, actually, for this truth that he pointed to out of the Psalms in Ephesians 5, verses 18 to 20. Paul says this, not Christopher Ashe. Christopher Ashe is great, but he's not the Apostle Paul.
So
don't occupy yourselves with so don't be filled with wine, which leads to worthlessness, but let yourselves instead be filled with the Holy Spirit, and speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and play for the Lord in your hearts, and thank always our God and Father for everything that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. That is exactly it, which was missing in my life. Let us be filled with the Spirit, not like a toy, but to His glory, that we would experience even more the joy that we have in Him, and then rejoice with indescribable joy. The king's people are a transformed people, a people of joy, Spirit-filled, Christ-glorifying joy. And then also a people of freedom.
And no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Free from sin,
we're free from the power of sin,
free from law,
free from the judgment of the law,
free from sin,
free from shame,
free from scam,
free from guilt, free from the fear of death,
free
from the fear of man,
free
from future fear. As the psalmist says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Who shall I fear? The Lord defends my life. Who should I be afraid of? For freedom, as Christ set us free. Stand fast.
Och låt er inte tvingas in under slav och ett igen. Lever vi i frihet?
Are you living in freedom? Free to love God. Free to trust in Him instead of others.
Free att lyda honom.
Free to obey Him.
Utifrån ett nytt hjärta,
out of a new heart,
kraft
with the power
oss,
of the Holy Spirit in us, that we get to obey Him, not free to do what I want. No, that's not freedom, that's slavery. Free to obey Him. Free to live a whole life for Him. That is freedom. That is the freedom that the King has come to give us. The King's people are a transformed people. They're also a people of peace. My restless heart has found rest and peace in Jesus. A few of you know our daughter, Grace. When Grace finally understood this, it changed her life. She wrote on Instagram, true rest is found in Jesus. True rest is found in Jesus, and only in Him. To know Him, to love Him, to experience His presence, to rest in Him. In the middle of the storm, he says, be still. In the middle of the chaos, he says, be still and know that I am God. I am your God. Whatever you go through, you can rest in Him. To know His peace, to experience His peace. It is so important that we tell others about His peace. There is peace in Jesus. The King has come. But the King is coming back. He is going to come back. The wonderful counselor is going to come to bring complete and final eternal life. The city, God's people in the New Jerusalem won't need the sun or the moon to give light, because God's glory will shine. And the lamp is the Lamb. Not from IKEA. which breaks in a few weeks. Which I have to put together. No, He has done everything. It is the light of the Lamb that we are going to wander in, according to Revelation 21. And on that day, the earth and the new creation will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord's glory.
lysande, strålande,
his shining
härlighet,
glory,
så som vattnet täcker havets djup.
Like the water wow. covers
the depths of the sea. Han kommer tillbaka.
He is coming
och
back.
Den mäktiga guden,
the mighty God who is going to bring
complete
eternal joy. The victory is going to be complete. The harvest is going to be gathered in. In Revelation 17, it says that his enemies are going to fight against the Lamb, but the Lamb is going to be victorious over them. He is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And on that field of harvest, before the throne, there's going to be a crowd that we can't even count of all people from all nations, tribes, and tongues who will be standing before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed in white clothes with palm branches in their hands, and they will cry out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and the Lamb." Oh, what a day that is going to be. What a joy. The King is coming back. And the Everlasting Father is going to bring final eternal freedom. Sons forever. Belonging to our Father. Everyone longs to be home. There is a true, real home, and it is with our Father, and through the King are we welcomed in. Many sons are finally brought home to glory. The King is coming back. The Prince of Peace is going to bring a final, complete, eternal peace. Wolves will live together with lambs. Leopards will lay with lambs. Calves and young lions will be together. And a little boy. And the Lord will wipe away all the tears from their eyes. Do you have tears today? In your eyes. Hardships. Deep sorrow. Maybe there's someone that you've lost. Are there tears? He will wipe away all their tears from our eyes. Death will be gone. There will be no more sorrow, no more crying. No more sickness. All that was will be gone. And he who is seated on the throne will say, "Behold, I am making all things new. Peace. Rest. Complete. And forever." The King is coming back. So what kind of people should the King's people be? Today and from this day forth, the King's people are awaiting transformed people who overflows with hope through his word and his spirit. He fills us with his light, his joy, his freedom, his peace,
så att vi ska flöda över,
so that we can overflow with his hope.
Vilken mörk.
What a dark, sorrow-filled, enslaved, restless, hopeless world that we're living in. Isn't that true? But for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, joy, everlasting Father, freedom, Prince of Peace, peace of the increase of his government and of peace. There will be no end on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. And how is all of this going to happen? The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. His powerful, loving passion for his glory and for his people is going to do all of this. Do you see this? He is going to do all of it. Through this passage that we've read today, there's actually nothing that we do. It is he who is doing everything for us. We can truly trust in him. He is my king. In Great Britain, it's a little controversial. There's people who they want to have Charles as their king. Others say, that maybe he comes in a visit to their city and they'll say, he's not my king. When we're born, we cry out from our hearts, not my king. And that's what your heart cries out today. Maybe when you see him, you say, not my king. I want to be my own king. But when I see him, a glimpse of his glory that we get in Isaiah 9, then my heart cries out, he is my king. And I want to ask you, not all of you, but I want to ask you personally, is he yours? Is he your king? Or are you crying out in your heart, not my king? He can be your king today. If you want to turn to him from darkness, from sorrow, from the slavery of sin, bow before him and put your trust in him now and forever. Father, I pray. I pray that you would give grace that each and every one of us here today would cry out from our hearts
med bilden som vi har fått,
with the picture that we have received
of konungens konung,
of the King of Kings,
herrenes herre,
the Lord of Lords,
kungen som har kommit och som,
the King who has come,
kommer igen,
and who will come again.
Vi skulle få nåd att ropa,
that we would receive the grace to cry out, He is my King.
Han har gjort allt.
He has done everything.
Vinna över mörkret.
He has won over darkness.
Så att jag kan uppleva
so that I can live in light.
Och glädje.
And joy. And peace.
Frid I honom.
And freedom in Him.
Moder vår soul. För var och en av oss.
For each of us.
Rör vid oss, jag ber.
Move in us, we pray.
Yes,
in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.